From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. An inmate on Georgia's death row received a last-minute reprieve yesterday. Troy Davis was sentenced to death for the 1989 murder of a Savannah police officer. But since his 1991 trial, seven of the nine eyewitnesses who testified against him have since changed their stories. Some witnesses say they felt pressured by police to finger Davis, who was scheduled to be executed by lethal injection today. Late yesterday, after a five-hour hearing, the Georgia State Board of Pardons and Paroles granted Troy Davis a 90-day stay of execution. For what happens next, we've got Paul Butler, a former federal prosecutor and law professor at George Washington University. Also, Laura Moy, deputy director of the Southern Regional Office of Amnesty International USA, and Cherie Lipscomb, a representative from the Georgia State Board of Pardons and Paroles. Welcome, everybody.
Hello. Thank you.
So, Paul,
great to be here for a ride.
Paul, let me start with you. What exactly does a 90-day stay of execution mean, and might Troy Davis get a new trial?
It's unlikely that he'll get a new trial. Really, the best he's hoping for now is that he'll get a commutation of the sentence so that he will be punished with life imprisonment rather than death. So this is not unlike what happened with Scooter Libby. The board is considering whether to commute the sentence.
Laura, let me turn to you. First of all, let's say that we did reach out to the family of Officer Mark McPhail, the man Davis was convicted of killing. They did not respond, but in an interview with the Associated Press, McPhail's widow said, "I believe they are setting a precedent for all criminals that it is perfectly fine to kill a cop and get away with it." That's referring to the Georgia State Board. And you've been working closely, on the other hand, with Troy Davis's family. Were they surprised by the decision yesterday?
Well, I think they didn't really have any idea how it was going to go, but they were certainly elated. And let me say that it's important that we don't view the families as being sort of on opposing sides of this issue, because both families have been through an awful lot. Both families have suffered a lot of pain. And I think it's unfortunate in this situation to sort of view the families as being on opposing sides, because really justice hasn't been served for anybody, in our opinion.
Cherie, why did the board make this decision?
Well, for one reason, the board made the decision was to evaluate and analyze the evidence that was produced and provided to them during the board appointment yesterday. They were overwhelmed with information and various documents and even the testimony. The board is looking to make sure they make the right decision, so they have to go over everything that was provided to them.
Paul, the death penalty has been controversial for probably as long as it's been in effect, but certainly in recent years there's been examinations of the racial implications. There have been governors who have had stays of execution policy. Are death penalty cases hard to slow down after a conviction, however?
They really are, in part because of this federal law called the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act. And the concern is that in the criminal justice system, there's a need for finality, for cases to finally be over. So that act is designed to stop inmates from constantly appealing. But the effect, some people fear, is that it facilitates the execution of some people who are actually innocent.
Laura, the circumstances in this case seem in some cases extraordinary. The fact that so many witnesses have recanted or refused to back up their statements. And you have been active in fighting against the Georgia death penalty. What has been the state's record overall when it comes to granting clemency or examining its own policies?
Sure. Well, it's very seldom that the parole board grants clemency. I believe it's done so six times in the last 30 years. But we feel like this is an extraordinary case that really has a lot of merit for clemency. But, you know, there's been 124 exonerations from U.S. death rows in the last 30 years, and we have six people who have come off of Georgia's death row because their innocence was proven. So we've been very close before, and we think that we really have to be as alert as possible. Our position is we shouldn't have a death penalty because this kind of risk is not acceptable.
When you say we've been very close before, you mean to executing someone who was innocent?
Sure. I mean, we've had two people who were wrongfully convicted out of Chatham County, the same county where Troy Davis was convicted. One man was in Tampa, Florida, when a crime happened, a double homicide in Savannah. Another man was put on death row. He was there 11 years. Each piece of the physical evidence against him was discredited when he was finally able to get decent legal support from pro bono attorneys years after his conviction.
I want to bring up something very interesting. Troy Davis was asked by CNN why he took blame for the murder during the trial, and here's what he said.
Because I didn't want to be labeled as a snitch, which is stupid.
Short and sweet, Paul, could this hurt his case?
Well, anytime you have something that looks like a confession, it's really not good for the accused person. So we know, as a matter of history, that sometimes people confess to things that they didn't actually do because of coercion or for social forces like Mr. Davis. It really doesn't help this case, obviously.
Yeah, he used the word, I don't want to be a snitch, the whole stop snitching campaign. Anyway, I want to turn to you, Cherie. Mm-hmm. Continuing the conversation about this, Congressman John Lewis was one of the people who came in to the board yesterday and really advocated for a reexamination. Is this stay really a reaction to outside pressure, or was it internal as the board looked at the documents?
Well, I wouldn't say it was due to outside pressure. Obviously, the finality of a decision for execution has caused the board and caused us to be more cautious and deliberate in our decision, and we will leave no room for question. You know, this is a man's life, and the board understands that, and they are seriously considering this case, but it is based on the information that was presented to us at the hearing. If there are questions that are being raised and the board is having to look at them, they are going to pay attention to that. They don't want to put a man to death that there are some questions about what may have happened. Again, the finality of it all, you know, you can't give a man back his life.
But unfortunately, Farai, the board and every state board hears cases like this frequently, and most often they don't grant commutations or even consider the case. So there's no doubt the fact that this is a very high-profile case and that Mr. Davis has very strong, prominent supporters on his side, like Congressman Lewis and even a former director of the FBI, makes a huge difference that unfortunately most people don't get.
Yes, but the board isn't, I mean, this is automatic with us. If his attorneys come to us and say that they want to appeal to the board, then it's automatic. This is not, they're not looking at the case because someone came to us other than his attorneys. The board, this is his last form of clemency in Georgia. So the board will consider it when his attorneys came to us and told us that they wanted to talk with us and have an appointment with us about this case, then we talk to them, and we've done that with everyone that's been on death row.
Cherie, let me follow up on that. As you were hearing from Troy Davis's representatives and from his family and congresspeople, was there any input yesterday from the family of the slain officer?
Yes, they are allowed to talk with the board members as well as the prosecutors in the case. I can't get into what the victims talked about because there are confidentiality laws with them. But they are able to express their concerns as well.
Laura, let's...
The public reported that
go ahead,
the
Paul.
Widow said is that she was sorry that this consideration was being granted to Mr. Davis.
Well, I think we have to understand the pain that that family is going through. And, you know, to them, they have not really been in a place where they want to look at this new information. So I think we just have to understand that they're in a very difficult position. But I think that both families were heard yesterday, and I think the board did spend a lot of time, more than they usually do, looking at this information. But we're gonna keep the visibility on this case because we want people to understand where things break down in this system, because we think people need to be concerned about the larger system. And this case just illustrates so many issues that people should really be concerned about with the death penalty.
Laura, what do you want to come out of this case, not just specific to Troy Davis, but in terms of, as you mentioned, a general examination of the death penalty?
Well, I mean, I don't know why people, you know, have not paid stronger attention to the death penalty, but we hope that this case, being, you know, so real and so current and so timely, gives people a hard, you know, and fast example of what happens when our death penalty system completely breaks down. I mean, we can talk about the parole board side, but let's have a look at the judicial process leading up to this stage. No court of appeal has been willing to hear the new evidence, the affidavits and testimony from witnesses saying that they lied, that many of them said they were under pressure, the evidence saying that a different man altogether committed this crime. I mean, what has gone wrong here that the entire judicial system has been unwilling to review this information? That is completely disturbing. There is need for reform, but even more, we think that this is proof that the death penalty is not something that should belong in our society, because this is too much power to give to a government that can't give life back.
Laura, we have to get ready to wrap it up, but Paul, I just want to go to you. Is there any chance that the federal government will reconsider the law that essentially cuts off some of the appeals process? Very briefly.
In this political climate, for Rye, the answer is no. Again, getting tough on crime is seen as supporting the death penalty for better and for worse.
All right. On that note, thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks. Paul Butler is a former federal prosecutor and a law professor at George Washington University. Laura Moy is deputy director of the Southern Regional Office of Amnesty International USA. And Cherie Lipscomb is a representative from the Georgia State Board of Pardons and Paroles.